Chapter 14. Rivers and Rain. The frozen veil reached out below me, blessedly silent at last. The debate had raged for hours, the fire had burned down to embers, and by the shouting's end, I'd have killed every bastard in the Elderhold for a single cup of vodka. By Wintermute law, no debate was permitted after dusk, and with resolution nowhere in sight, the clans broke for the eve. Phoebe assured me that outside the tail lead was where the real politicking took place, and with her cousin and aunt in tow, she went out to argue for war against the dead. I'd 1/7 of 2/5 of fuck-all to contribute in back-alley dealings among the All-Mothers, and so I nodded good eve to Bryn at the base of the stairs and trudged back up to my room, intent on drowning thirst and sorrows both. I'd filched a bottle of what smelled like rotten spud boiled in old feet from the feast table, but it turned out to be some kind of Highland black. Wincing at the taste, I stood by the window and watched shadows flit between lodges below, the whispers in the dark, the song of slow pipes. I reached out for Dior, knowing she was beyond my reach, yet trying to believe she was all right, that somehow there was still hope. With nae fucking hope. The snarl came from behind me, dragging me from dark thoughts. I frowned at the empty bottle in my hand. Whatever this cat's piss was made from, it had dulled me enough I'd not even heard Phoebe's feet on the stairs. But there she was, storming into the room and slamming the door so fierce the hinges near broke. I could see the tail on her face before she spoke. No joy, then. Nothing close, she replied. The Cleards and Barons will nae be moved to war with the dead. The Herons and Killakes neither. Nae a single All-Mother of the Urfwill or Velfwill are swayed, and a few don't even believe the Godling is born among the Lowlanders. They just think me moonstouched, or perhaps held under sway of your magics. I shook my head, astonished. Nobody stands with us? She shrugged. Keelan has pledged the Merricks to the cause. That's good. Keelan holds sway among the Leofwill, oui? Aye, but he'll nae march with us unless all do. To commit in strength against the Divock leaves their clan hold vulnerable, and Keelan has nae faith the Slain or Killakes or a dozen others won't stake claim on their lands while his back is turned. So they'll stay up here and fight for scraps of dying earth rather than the entire world. The future of the realm is in the balance. Is there nothing that will sway them? A miracle, maybe. Phoebe shook her head. And then, only maybe. Fuck my face, I snarled. Nay in the mood, she sighed. I snatched up the empty bottle, hurling it at the wall. Wintermute my ass, I roared. See, this is why you need emperors, Phoebe. This is why you build thrones. Give every asshole a voice and you just end up drowning in their shite. And they'll still find a way to debate on the colour of it as they sink.
Aye, well, benefits of benevolent monarchy aside, what the hell do we do?
I turned to the window, searching that dark with pale blood eyes, looking to those statues of the moons below, crescents of granite and angel wings. To have wasted so much time and effort getting up here, to have failed Dior so completely. God, it felt like a sword in the gut. I could see no way out, no way through, but... First things last, I have to get to Dior. She's bound to arrive at May again soon.
Aye, and what do we do once we get there?
I looked back to Phoebe as she spoke. Some small and foolish part of me still burned a little warmer, despite all that dark and cold outside. It's strange how a single word can change a world. Strange how so much power rests in the smallest of things.
We,
I repeated. I. She walked to my side, gazed up into my eyes.
I care nae if 100 armies of the dead standing our way. I swore blood oath to that child, so...
She put her hand on my chest, tossing back her hair, fierce and unafraid.
We.
I've no plan here, Phoebe. No prayer.
we're likely headed straight to our deaths. We only die if we are forgotten, Gabriel de Leon. Burn bright, burn brief, but burn. I shook my head in wonder, looking down into that alloy of gold and platinum, silver and steel. The liquor was warm in my veins, but despite the dark that lay ahead, or perhaps because of it, the sight of this woman warmed me more. Firelight danced on her eyes, the wind howled in the night outside, and I was reminded of her words in Ravenspire. About finding broken edges to fit against our own, about being brave enough to seek them out, and bleeding though I still was, vulnerable as it would make me, I reached out slow, brushing an errant braid from her cheek and listening to the song of her quickening pulse. You're quite a woman, Phoebe Adunzer. I am nay woman. I am the wild. I am the wind. Thorn and bramble, I smiled. She nodded. Blood and scars. I kissed her then, deep and soft and slow, slipping my hand to the small of her back and drawing her close. Phoebe sighed, throwing her arms around my neck with a hungry growl. She crushed lips and body against mine, and we stumbled and crashed against the table, almost falling. The dark was gathered all around us, no way through, no real hope for the morrow. Both of us desperate to fend off the cold, if only for tonight. My fingers found the ties on her tunic, her hands slipped to my belt. Our tongues flickered against each other, her teeth nipping at my lip as she dragged me free of my leathers. I groaned as she stroked me, harder, longer, talons skimming along my burning skin. She sighed as I broke away from her mouth, hauling her tunic over her head, tearing her leathers down and kicking them free. And before I knew it, I was on my knees before that angel, lifting her effortlessly onto the table's edge and feeling her shiver as I blazed a slow trail of burning kisses up the inside of her thigh. Oh, moons, she whispered. She leaned back, groaning, one hand behind my head to steer me true. God, the want of her, the need of her washed over me like the sacrament itself. We were high in the tower where none would hear, but still Phoebe put a hand to her mouth, biting her finger to stifle her moans. She spread her legs wider, dragging me in, head thrown back and hips swaying as my tongue sang hymns upon her skin. I sighed at the taste of her, wanting to linger, to drown, but she was impatient, denied far too long, soon dragging me from my knees. I kissed my way back up her body, taut belly and soft curves, up to the heady peril of her throat. Her pulse whispered my name, my thirst smashing itself against the bars of its cage. It wanted to know her, own her, devour her. And as I kissed her neck, nipped her skin, I knew not where this would end. But Phoebe cupped her hands to my cheeks and pulled me higher, crushing lips to mine, hungry, hard, her honey mingling on our tongues as our bodies pressed close. She reached under my tunic, dragged it up over my head despite my murmur of protest. I gasped as she raked her talons down my belly. She hissed in pleasure pain as she leaned in to kiss me again, her pebble-hard nipples brushing the silver on my chest. You'll hurt yous. I don't care, she breathed around our tongues. Take me, Gabriel. My belly filled with butterflies at that command, all of me a tremble. I'd no wish to burn her, nor be burned in kind, but if only for tonight, I wanted, needed, to make this woman mine. She gasped as I turned her about, bending her over the table before me. My eyes roamed the spirals inked down her back, the delicious dimples at the base of her spine, the perfect curves of her arse below. She groaned as I took her hands, crossed them at the small of her back, my fingers encircling her wrists to pin them, all of her now at my mercy. Oh, Mother Moons, she whispered, parting her legs. I ran myself over her quim, and Phoebe pushed back against me, pleading, sighing, so warm and soft it was all I could do to stop. She groaned as I slipped a little inside her, one slow, agonizing inch, all of me burning with the want of her. But I held myself still, willing myself to savour this moment, tracing feather-like fingertips over her tattoos and watching her shiver. A long sigh of protest slipped her lips as I withdrew, turning to a groan as I ran myself over and around her again, caressing her swollen bud with my aching crown.
"Goddess, don't tease me," she pleaded. "Fuck me."
I remember a conversation in a pub about a certain magic word.
"Now,"
she hissed, rising up and seeking my mouth. But I drew away from that kiss, prolonging our agony, drawing slow, hard circles on her petals and tightening my grip on her wrists as I growled,
"That's not it, mademoiselle."
Phoebe moaned as I held myself poised, just a whisper, just a word away from what we both ached for. Her back was straight now, shoulder blades brushing my chest, silver hissing. Her cheeks were flushed, lips moving, her whisper too faint to hear over the thunder in her heaving breast.
"What was that?"
I breathed, sinking just a little back inside her.
"Oh, you bastard,"
she sighed as I withdrew once more.
"That's not it either," I smiled, lips drifting along her shoulder.
Phoebe snarled, wrists still encircled by my hand, talons drawing blood on my belly. She turned her head again, lips parted, and I kissed her then, breathing her in, shaking with want. And as I let myself slip back into her again, one slow inch after another, she let her head drift back, flaming curls spilling down her spine as she sighed surrender.
"Oh, please."
Her whisper, my command. I, her master and servant both. And she moaned as I sank inside her at last, slow and hard and deep, deep as I could go. Her whole body shivered and she bent over again, curls tumbling about her face, grinding back against me. And so we danced, moving each in time, unleashed upon each other at last.
"Oh, moons, that's..."
My hand came down on her buttock, a sharp crack ringing in the air. Phoebe moaned, head thrown back as I slipped my hand between her legs, mindful of the silver on my skin. Her sighs were lost in mine as I caressed her, strumming long, slow circles as she shook like an autumn leaf. I was adrift in silken heat, still pinning her wrists, sinking to my hilt with each stroke and trying not to lose myself utterly.
"Harder,"
she begged. I obeyed, snarling. Little more than a beast now, pulling her back onto me over and over again. The sound of our flesh slapping was near as loud as her cries, loud cracks echoing on the walls as I smacked her pinking cheeks in time. Phoebe was trembling head to foot, sweat gleaming in the valleys of her spine, the scent of her driving me mad. She began moaning louder, teeth gritted and toes curling, bending like a sapling in a raging storm.
"Oh! Please!"
Releasing her wrists, I kissed my way up her arching spine, deeper, harder, rushing closer toward our ends. And Phoebe sighed, brushing the long, sweat-slick curls away from her neck, an invitation that made me shiver, the beast rising inside me now, hunger and madness and thirst.
"Do it,"
she breathed.
"Make me yours."
Her lashes fluttered on her cheeks, one hand knotted in my hair, the other braced against the table as we crashed against each other. She moaned as my kisses reached her throat, her pulse so loud it was all I could hear. And though I knew this was the path to damnation, both of us knew, that only made us burn the brighter for it.
"I shouldn't," I whispered. "If I..."
"Take me,"
she begged.
"Taste me."
I wrapped one fist in her curls, pulling her head farther back, a growl rumbling in my chest. My fangs brushed her skin, a feather-soft scrape that made her shiver and gasp, our bodies entwined and burning, the thirst boiling red and screaming inside me.
"Just a mouthful."
"Please, Gabriel,"
she whispered.
"Just a drop."
"Please."
I groaned, shaking, my ending rushing up from the dark within. Her plea was a prayer,
and my resolve was gone, that beast in me tearing it to ribbons. There was one last hesitation, that promise to the ground, already scorched by our kiss in the tower, now consumed in the flames between us. The thirst is eternal, cold blood, the hunger forever. And though I mourned for all things lost, after all is said and done, I am only a man. And so I reared back like a viper, like a monster, and God help me, I bit her, heedless, hard. My fangs sank into her skin and my cock into her quim, and all my world was blood and fire. A flood, molten and thick with all her passion, all her want, soaking me through and filling me to my brim. I couldn't even cry out as I ended, so lost in the rush of her pulse, the storm of her heart, Phoebe screaming for us both, one hand behind my head, the other between her legs, utterly lost in the ecstasy of the kiss. I drank her down, our bodies still moving in time, sinking to the root with every swallow. She was an ocean, and I the desert. I was the river, and she the rain. It had been more than a year since I'd succumbed so completely, and the thirst had swelled since then, wrapping me now in red arms and filling me the way no smoke or liquor or flesh ever could. Phoebe's eyes rolled back, whispering shapeless pleas as I swallowed all she gave me and then more besides. That fire never quenched, that hole never filled, that need, so hateful and sly, unsatisfied even as you sate it, never ever wanting it to end.
Gabe, Phoebe whispered.
Just a little more, Gabriel.
Gabriel, no more.
Just one more mouthful. Just one more drop. Don't stop, don't stop, don't
stop,
she cried. And I came back to myself then. The fear in her voice a slap to my face, the man in me seizing that monster and choking it still. I was horrified, my mouth full of slippery warmth, as with a growl, a gasp, I dragged my lips free of Phoebe's neck. I stumbled back, utterly aghast, blood spilling from my lips as Phoebe wilted onto the furs, gasping, holding her wounded throat. And that, right there, was the moment. Gabriel leaned back in his chair, polishing off the last of his wine. That exact fucking moment, if you'll believe it. Jean-Francois looked up from his tome, blinking. The exact fucking moment, what, de Leon? Gabriel set aside his goblet, shaking his head. The exact fucking moment, Bryn came bursting through the door.